the boat strikes, if it is found that survivors were actually killed while clinging on to that boat, should Secretary Hegseth, Admiral Bradley, or others be punished?
I think you're going to find that this is war, that these people were killing our people by the millions, actually, if you look over a few years. I think last year we lost close to 300,000 people were killed. That's not mentioning all the families. Have you seen what happens with the families of not only the people killed, the people that are trying to get their son or their daughter off of this poison that they've been fed? I think you're going to find that there's a very receptive ear to doing exactly what they're doing, taking out those boats. And very soon we're going to start doing it on land, too, because we know every route. We know every house. We know where they manufacture this crap. We know where they put it all together. And I think you're going to see it very soon on land also. Yeah, please.
So to be clear, you support the decision to kill survivors after the initial
No, I support the decision to knock out the boats. And whoever's piloting those boats, most of them are gone. But whoever are piloting those boats, they're guilty of trying to kill people in our country. Yeah, please.
This is my video update on this Friday afternoon, December the 5th. Coming to you from Athens, Greece. Let's talk about some news. And before we get to the main news topics for today, if you can, this would help me out a lot. If you can, hit that like button. And when you hit that like button, remember to say, I like it a lot. I like it a lot. And then you can also, if you want, share this video, subscribe to this channel. Let's discuss Der Spiegel and the leaked phone call. This is scandalous. So scandalous. The leaked phone call that Der Spiegel decided to publish. They got a hold of this leaked phone call, this transcript of European globalist elite, the cool kids of Europe, all of them engaged in a conference call discussing Project Ukraine and U.S. President Trump. And so the information that Spiegel has published, which has not been denied by any EU leader. Actually, the opposite. EU leaders have pretty much confirmed that what Der Spiegel is publishing is, for the most part, accurate. This phone call reveals that the EU cool kids, the European cool kids, they are very worried about Trump and his negotiations with Russia. They're afraid that Trump is going to throw the Green Goblin under the green bus. They are afraid that Trump might side with Russia and cut the EU out of any negotiations when it comes to Project Ukraine or Europe, and of course, they are very concerned for Volodymyr Zelensky, and also very concerned for the Russian frozen assets. Let's read you some of what Der Spiegel is reporting. I'm going to need to get under some cover for this. Let's see here. I think that might do. I think that'll be all right. Yeah, that'll work. So, Der Spiegel. They read an article with the title, "We must not leave Ukraine and Volodymyr alone with these guys." These guys refers to Witkoff and Kushner. more Witkoff than Kushner. They don't like Witkoff, the European elite. Der Spiegel has obtained notes from a conference call involving EU leaders, including Germany's Merz and France's Macron, showing just how little trust Europe has in Washington. Oh, they have such little trust in Washington. Where has all the trust gone? We had so much trust with Bidenopoulos, and now with Trump, that trust is gone. Der Spiegel says there is a chance that the U.S. will betray Ukraine on territory without clarity on security guarantees, Macron said, according to the English language notes of the call that Der Spiegel has obtained. There is, he said, a big danger for Zelensky. Russia's demands for territorial concessions are one of the most delicate points in the negotiations. According to the notes, Merz and Zelensky must be very careful in the coming days. They are playing games with both you and us, Merz apparently said, likely in reference to the two U.S. negotiators, Witkoff and real estate mogul Kushner, U.S. President Donald Trump's son-in-law. These and other statements reproduced in the notes of the conversation illustrate the Europeans' deep distrust of the two Trump confidants, while the Europeans have consistently praised Washington's new peace initiative. The document shows that in addition to Merz and Macron, other participants in the call also do not trust the two U.S. emissaries. They're playing games, according to Merz and Macron. We need to be careful with Zelensky. That's not working. The tree is not providing me the needed shelter so I can read. I know where I can go. So, they're playing games. That Trump administration, quit playing games with my heart. My heart, quit playing games with my heart. Yeah, they got to protect Zelensky at all costs. We must protect Zelensky, according to Merz and Macron. Also, Stube, he was on the call, as was Donald Tusk. He was on the call as well. Maloney was on the call, and Van der Tatters, she was also on the call. Of course, Pinocchio Mark Rutte, he was present. Zelensky, I believe Zelensky was on the call as they were talking about how to protect him. I believe he was also on the call, if I remember correctly. And who else? Denmark, Frederiksen, Norway. Norway was on the call. I think that's it. I think that's everyone. I'll read you the names. I have it bookmarked. Who exactly was on this call. But they're all very concerned about Zelensky. They don't like Witkoff. They do not like Witkoff at all. Let's see, who was on this call? I think I had it bookmarked. I thought I had it bookmarked. Alexander Stubb. He said, we must not leave Ukraine and Volodymyr alone with these guys. These guys, can't leave them alone. He said at one point in the conversation, NATO Secretary General Mark Rutte, who is also well-regarded by Trump, joined the Finn, according to the written record. I agree with Alexander that we need to protect Volodymyr. We need to protect Volodymyr. That is what Rutte said. Macron, Merz, Stube, Ursula, Rutte, Meloni, Tusk, Frederiksen, Støre, Costa. Costa was also on the call. The European Council leader, Costa, and Zelensky. Notably absent. 008, Keir Starmer. Notably absent. Things that make you go, 008 was not on the call. So this call is really not that scandalous, to be quite honest. It really isn't. It's interesting. But it's not scandalous. The fact that Spiegel published this means that there's definitely some sort of collective West intel agency behind this this leak. From what I understand, it wasn't the audio. They got a transcript of the call. But Spiegel, super pro Alensky, pro collective West, very anti-Russia. So who leaked this this call? Who gave this call to Spiegel? Who did it? Maybe U.S. intel. That's an option. Could be U.S. intel that leaked this call. Maybe U.S. intel wanted to make the Europeans look bad because the Europeans are trying to wreck Trump's negotiations with Russia, the theatrical negotiations with Russia. So they're trying to wreck it, and maybe someone in the U.S. deep state said, no way are we going to allow the Europeans to wreck our chance at peace. No way. This could have been leaked by German intel. Maybe it was leaked by German intel, right? That would make sense. Spiegel, German intel leaks this. From what I understand, Spiegel is not against Merz. But they're also not a huge fan of Merz. At least that's my understanding of Spiegel. But maybe they wanted to leak this in order to... I'm trying to think, why would German intel want to leak this? In order to make Merz look bad? Maybe? That's their angle? I don't know. I can't figure out why German intel would leak this to Spiegel. UK intel... Starmer was not on the call. So maybe UK intel leaked this to Spiegel, MI6, so that they can make the Europeans look bad, make Alensky look weak. Maybe they leaked it so that they can make Alensky look weak. And they can then push the strong ex-military commander named Zaluzhny onto Trump. So the Trump White House says, you know, I'm just sick of all of this babying of Alensky. We need a strong leader in Ukraine. How about that Zaluzhny? You know, Steve, Jared, that guy that blew up the Nord Stream pipeline, according to the BBC and the Washington Post and the Wall Street Journal. You know, the guy that masterminded the Nord Stream pipeline sabotage. How about that guy? He would be a good, strong leader for Ukraine. And that is who the UK deep state, some parts of the UK deep state would like to see become the leader of Ukraine. So maybe it was the MI6. That's also possible. Maybe Russia leaked this to Spiegel so that they could make everyone look bad. That's also possible, though I doubt it. I highly doubt it. So who do you guys think leaked this to Spiegel? Who did it? I'm thinking the UK intel. I'm thinking the UK. And the only reason I say that, well, the main reason I say that is because Starmer was not involved in this conversation. That's who I'm leaning toward. Maybe German intel leaked this to Spiegel in order to discredit Witkoff in the eyes of Trump. Maybe that's why they leaked it. Maybe they believe that when Trump gets word of this transcript and he realizes how much the Europeans do not like Witkoff, he's going to say, you know what, let's bring back Yves Kellogg. Maybe that's why German intel leaked this. I don't know. All right, so that's the call. In this transcript, one thing is very obvious. BlackRock Merz is very obsessed, concerned with the Russian frozen assets. He is very, very obsessed and concerned with the Russian frozen assets. He's freaked out. The European elite are freaked out over the Trump 28-point peace plan, which talked about the U.S. getting a hold of the Russian assets. They did not like that at all. I was the first to say it. I was the first to say that in that 28-point peace plan. You know what really bothered the Europeans more than anything else in that 28-point peace plan? The part about the United States getting profit from the Russian frozen assets. That really, really bothered them. And in this call, You can tell that they're very concerned about how the U.S. views the Russian frozen assets. And also in this transcript, it is revealed that Mertz and the Europeans that were on this call, they believe that the Russian frozen assets are key to getting them a seat at the table. They believe that the Russian frozen assets is their one big trump card. That's the big card that they still have left to play, which will force the United States and the Russians, but more the United States, to actually give them a seat at the table so that then they can be part of this theatrics negotiation process. That was revealed in the transcripts. And so you have BlackRock Mertz canceling a meeting that he was going to attend, I believe, in Oslo. He was supposed to go tomorrow to Oslo, and he's canceled that. And instead, he is going to get on the midnight train going anywhere. He's going to get on the midnight train to Brussels. He's going to go to Brussels, and he is going to have a lunch or a dinner, I believe dinner, with Van der Tatters and with the Belgium Prime Minister De Wever. And it's going to be two against one, Mertz and Ursula against De Wever. And the goal is to get the Belgium Prime Minister to cave in and agree to give the Russian frozen assets to the Green Goblin. Mertz dashes to Brussels for talks with De Wever and VDL on Russian assets. EU leaders are scheduled to discuss the initiative in Brussels on December the 18th. That's when they're going to make their big decision on the assets. December the 18th. $210 billion, according to Ursula in her statement yesterday. That is the plan, which she calls a reparations loan. Is that what she's calling it? The reparations loan? which some EU diplomats, who prefer to remain anonymous, according to the Financial Times, they're just calling this crazy. Ursula calls it the reparations loan. They just call it crazy, crazy talk from Van der Tatters. And it's $210 billion. $40 billion of that $210 billion right away goes to repay a loan to the G7. So a loan of $40 billion was given to Project Ukraine, and they've already spent that money. And $210 billion, $40 billion of that will go to repay that loan. And I didn't know about that, by the way, that there was a $40 billion loan taken out, and that has to be paid back. But you have another $100 billion or so, which is going to go to the MIC, a gift to the military-industrial complex. And then the remainder of that $210 billion is going to go to the Green Goblin to keep his government afloat. And the narrative is that this money is going to last for 2 years. And if you believe that, I've got a bridge to sell you. The money will last at most 6 months. And then Ursula and co. are going to be asking for more money. They're going to be looking for more money after 6 months. But Mertz, he is obsessed, along with Ursula, absolutely obsessed with this loan. He believes it's going to get him a seat at the table. That's what Mertz actually believes. If De Wever, the prime minister of Belgium, if he caves in, Belgium is cooked. So far, he's not caving in. Let's give him some props. So far, he is standing firm, standing strong against the EU elite, of which he is one of the EU elite, but so far he is resisting. He understands that politically he would be done. He understands that Belgium would be cooked. But he might cave. He might cave under pressure. Two against one. Ursula teaming up with Mertz, and they don't even like each other. They don't like each other. Ursula does not like Mertz. Mertz does not like Ursula. But we're talking about money, right? That's what we're talking about. We're talking about money. And so they're going to put their differences aside, and they're going to team up to try and get Belgium to cave in. So the UK courts, they completed an inquiry into the Skripals case. And this inquiry focused on the death of Dawn Sturgis. She came in contact with the nerve agent Novichok in 2018. And she died from her contact with the Novichok. And the UK courts, they completed an inquiry into her death. And the conclusion that they came up with was that Putin must have given the order to the Russian assassins, to the Russian intel agents, of which, according to the inquiry, three of them were identified by Robert Mueller as being involved in Russiagate with the hacking of Hillary Clinton's emails or her server or whatever happened back then. And so the UK courts, they're drawing a connection between Putin, three of the assassins. I believe they're sanctioning the entire Russian intel agency. And they've identified 11 agents who were somehow involved with the Skripals and Novichok. And they're connecting three of those 11 to Russiagate. And so you can see what they're doing here is they're basically they're creating this narrative of Putin, Russiagate, Trump, in order to lay the foundation for when the midterms are complete in the United States, and they can resurrect the whole Russiagate scandal once again against Trump. Or perhaps the message to Trump is, if you do not back off from your negotiations with Russia, then we will continue to push this narrative of Russiagate, Novichok, and Putin and Trump, right? So that's what they're doing here. And they make it very clear that this is the narrative, the goal of this latest inquiry. Actually, the Telegraph, they say it in the first couple of paragraphs of their write-up on this. Russian spies who hacked Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign have been linked to the Salisbury poisoning for the first time. There it is, right there. Boris Antonov, Nikolai Kozacek, and Pavel Yershov were previously indicted by the United States for releasing tens of thousands of emails from Ms. Clinton's 2016 campaign. They were among 11 Russian military intelligence officers sanctioned by Britain on Thursday in the wake of the public inquiry into the death of Dawn Sturgis, who was exposed to the nerve agent Novichok in 2018. The Sturgis inquiry concluded the GRU, Russia's military intelligence agency, was responsible for the death of the mother of three who came into contact with the chemical weapon following a botched attempt to assassinate double agent Sergei Skripal. Where are the Skripals, by the way? My understanding of this inquiry is that the Skripals did not testify or did not take part in this inquiry. Not the father, not the daughter, Yulia, right? They did not take any part in this inquiry. No one knows where they are. I don't know where they are. Do you know where they are? I don't know where they are. I don't know what happened to them. But the conclusion is that the order must have come, according to the judge. He said it must have come from Putin. He said the evidence is overwhelming, according to the judge. It's overwhelming evidence provided by UK intel services, right? But it's overwhelming that Putin must have given the order. And the assassins, they botched everything because, according to the inquiry, they left, if I remember the Telegraph article, they left the bottle of Novichok on the ground or lying around. And unfortunately, Miss Miss Burgess, she came in contact with the bottle and she died from her contact with Novichok. So that's the inquiry from the UK, and the timing of this is interesting. Very, very interesting timing, given the panic and the freakout over the U.S.-Russia negotiations. The UK definitely in a big-time panic over these negotiations. And so the connection to Russiagate, which the Telegraph lays out in the first two paragraphs, I think explains what the goal of all of this is for the UK. Anyway, all right, that is that story. Perhaps we'll do a dedicated video on this, on the Duran. It's interesting, the timing of all of this and trying to connect it to Russiagate, trying to send a message to Trump, perhaps. Putin in India. He is in India, the Russian president. Greeted by Modi at the airport. Greeted by Modi personally once again when they met for formal talks. Protocol, from my understanding, is that Modi does not personally greet the heads of state when they arrive in India. But for Putin, he made an exception. And I believe that this highlights the fact that Modi himself greeted Putin at the airport. This absolutely highlights Russia's isolation, absolutely isolated Putin. And anyway, he had his meeting with Modi. It's a 2-day trip to India. Putin also did a very revealing interview with India Today. Is the network that interviewed Putin? I might get that wrong, but I believe it's India Today or India Times. I'm not sure, but anyway, it was a good interview, interesting interview, excellent questions from the journalists, and they did ask Putin about the meeting with Witkoff and Kushner, and Putin explained why the meeting was 5 hours. He said that it was 5 hours. Because the Americans, he said, they brought with them the 27-point peace plan. I'm not sure if he said 28 or 27, but they brought the 27/28-point peace plan, and Putin said that they also brought with them 4 documents which accompanied the points, and he said it took 5 hours because Russia had to go through those points one by one by one and discuss those points with their U.S. Colleagues. That's what Putin said. That's why the meeting took 5 hours. So Putin explained a little bit as to why the meeting lasted so long and a little bit as to what was going on, what was said. He didn't really say the details of what was discussed, but he does reveal that the 4 documents, along with the 28 or 27 points, needed to be discussed between both sides, or at least the Russians needed to kind of look at all of the points and the 4 documents. He said it's the first time that they've seen the 4 documents. So they had to go through the documents and just kind of clarify certain things and ask Kushner and Witkoff about some of the points being made. Mm-hmm. Well, that's a beautiful tree right here for some shelter. I should have done my video from inside here. All right. So Russia, very much isolated. Big time isolation. Meeting with India. Meeting with the United States in Moscow. The Ukrainians go to Florida to meet with the United States, And the United States goes to Moscow to meet with the Russians. That tells you everything. By the way, the Miami Herald ran an article saying that Florida or Miami has become the capital of foreign policy. I said that. I said that like 2-3 days ago. Come on, Miami Herald. Give me some credit. Give me some props. The Telegraph article. Did I mention the title of the Telegraph article? Russian agents trail led from Hillary Clinton's emails to fatal Salisbury attack. Three spies wanted for meddling in U.S. presidential election sanctioned over links to death of Dawn Sturgis. Yeah, let's create that connection again. Let's get this whole Russiagate 4.0 or 5.0. Let's get this thing going again. So the EU scandal, let's go to the EU scandal, which is freaking out stunning and brave Kaya Kallas. She's getting very nervous about the EU corruption scandal. Which corruption scandal? Not Qatargate, not Ursula's text messages with Birla, not that scandal, not those scandals. Not the Ukraine energy scandal. No, not those scandals. This is the newest scandal coming from Europe, which Belgian police are pushing, which is also interesting that the Belgian police are investigating the European Union, telling the European Union perhaps to back off of our prime minister or else. Kaya Kallas, she is freaked out over this. She held a town hall, I guess, is what it's called. When the big boss, Kaya Kallas, the big boss, talks to the employees. And she held a town hall to answer any of their questions about the scandal that has taken down the former top EU diplomat, Federica Mogherini, as well as two other EU officials. Federica has resigned as the rector of the College of Europe. She has resigned because she has been formally charged, from my understanding of things. She has been charged with corruption, as have the other two officials. The other guy was also very high up in the EU. And Kaya Kallas, she is under fire because she runs the EU Transparency Organization, or whatever it's called. I forgot the exact name of it. But it deals with transparency and corruption and all of these things. And that's under her control. And the complaint is that this agency that Kaya Kallas commands is really not so transparent. It's not really doing a good job of being transparent and fighting corruption and stuff like that. And Kaya Kallas, according to German media, she is trying to distance herself and her office from Federica and this latest scandal. She is trying really, really hard to distance herself from everything that is going down with the former top diplomat and other EU associates, the College of Europe, which educates young European adults, men and women, young European aspiring men and women to enter the service of the European Union. That is what the College of Europe does. It educates them so that they can be the leaders of tomorrow, the Ursulas and the Costas and the Josep Borrells of tomorrow. So a lot of this this scandal, as I said in a video a couple of days ago, a lot of this is or happened under the tenure of Jungle Josep, right? That's when Mogherini, she left as top diplomat. She was given the cushy job of rector for the College of Europe. Borrell took over, and allegedly a lot of the corruption took place as Borrell was the new top diplomat, and Federica was starting her tenure at this college, this academy. So that's an update there. And before we get to our clown world, Callus in damage control mode. Stunning and brave. Stunning and brave in damage control mode. Let's talk about Eurovision. Let's talk about the song contest Eurovision. Because Eurovision is in turmoil. The song contest is in turmoil. Why have they made the Eurovision Song Contest so political? It's just a song contest. It shouldn't be political. It shouldn't be political when it comes to Israel. When it comes to Russia, it's absolutely political. But when it comes to Israel, it should not be politicized. And so the hypocrisy, in much the same way that we saw the double standards and hypocrisy for the ICC, which I have talked about in many videos, we are seeing the same double standards and hypocrisy over Eurovision. And what is going on now is that four countries have said that they will not participate in the 2026 Eurovision Song Contest. And the four countries are, I don't remember, Spain. I want to say Spain, Netherlands. I also want to say Slovenia. Yep, and Ireland. Ireland, Spain, Slovenia, and the Netherlands are threatening to withdraw from next year's Eurovision Song Contest in protest of Israel's participation. That's what they're protesting, Israel's participation, because of everything that happened and is happening in Gaza. And they're saying that Eurovision should not allow Israel to participate. But the Eurovision contest board or broadcasting company or whatever it's called, the EBC or the ECB, whatever they call this thing, they have ruled that Israel will be allowed to participate in Eurovision. Russia is not. Keep that in mind. Russia is not. And these four countries are saying, well, if that's the case, we're not going to participate. By the way, I believe Israel came in second place last year, right? Either second place or third place. And there's a little bit of a mini scandal connected to the four countries saying they will not participate in 2026 contest because they claim that some of the voting may have been rigged. That's what some of the claims are. So in the same way that the ICC underwent all kinds of difficulties or is undergoing all kinds of difficulties for its double standards going after Putin and the United States cheering the ICC for going after Putin. And then they were forced to go after Netanyahu, and then the United States had to sanction the ICC for going after Netanyahu. We're basically seeing the same thing with Eurovision in a way, right? So that's Eurovision. I do not feel sorry for Eurovision. They deserve all of this. And I would not be sad to see the Eurovision Song Contest simply go away. That would not sadden me one bit. So let's do some clown worlds and we can wrap this video up. And today's clown worlds, I remember one, I don't remember the other. The one that I remember is Liz Truss. Liz Truss has a podcast, The Liz Truss Show. And in her teaser, she said that she's going to go after the deep state. Okay, Liz Truss. Yeah, she said that she was prime minister, the lettuce Liz Truss. She said she was prime minister and she wanted to go after the deep state, but the deep state took her down. And that's why she only lasted for about a month, because the deep state took her down. And Liz Truss said now she is ready to reveal everything. She's going to reveal everything. She's going to name names and she's going to expose the deep state in her new podcast called The Liz Truss Show. Oh, man. Everyone has a podcast. Everyone has a podcast. Anyway, that's clown world number one. Clown world number two is the former owner, the former Austrian owner who tried to be very secretive but was exposed of Prawn Hub. You know which company I mean. Actually, the company's name is MindGeek, I believe, is the parent company. But Prawn Hub's owner, he is now making a bid for the Lukoil assets in Europe. the Lukoil assets in Bulgaria, I believe Bulgaria, Romania, those Lukoil assets. He is making a bid for those assets. That's right. Makes sense, actually, to be honest. Russia's kicked out of the energy business in Europe, and the former owner, the ex-Pron hub owner, is looking to buy those assets. It makes sense, from Russian energy in Europe to Pron energy in Europe. Sounds about right. Ex-Pron hub owner looking to buy Russian oil giants' Western assets, according to Reuters. Lukoil has moved to divest its overseas holdings after the U.S. imposed sanctions on the company. So there you have it. And the guy that was the ex-owner, he's worth something like $1.4 billion or something like that. And he made a statement saying that he's looking at these assets because they're good assets to hold. They're very attractive assets to get control of. So he's making his bid. He has to apply to the U.S. Treasury, to the U.S. government, so that he can try to take over these assets or something like that. Yeah, because they're sanctioned. So he's making the application to take over these assets. So that's who could be controlling energy in Bulgaria and Romania and much of Europe. Score. Win. Win. Way to go, Europe. Ursula Trump. Way to go. European values. All right. We will end the video there. TheDuran.locals.com. We are on Rumble, X, Telegram, Rockfin, and also on Substack. Check us out on Substack. And I will see everyone tomorrow. Go to the Duran Shop, pick up some merch.